Praise God. It's another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word. And we are grateful for the chance to come to you this morning through this channel. Now we're in the book of Acts and we have been looking at the encounter of Cornelius, the house of Cornelius and Peter. The Bible tells us that Cornelius was a devout man. He was a centurion, in charge of 100 soldiers. And he was a God-fearing man who will give to the poor. He will provide of his substance. He also used to pray. The Bible tells us that at about 9th hour, that's about 3 p.m., he was in prayer when an angel came to him and told him that your prayers and your alms have come up to heaven as a memorial. And now go and send for Simon, who is called Peter, who is staying in the house of Simon the Tanner, and he will tell you what you must do. And immediately he sent for Peter. And God had to do a work on Peter. God had to show him a vision. Peter was still stuck in his Jewish customs, and the Jews do not interact freely with Gentiles. And so we see that Peter has a struggle. And you see when God shows him the vision of a large sheet coming down from heaven that was held in the four parts, bound in the four parts, that had all kinds of animals. God clearly tells him that what God has cleansed, do not call common. And this is done three times. And in this, all this moment, Peter is still trying to understand what is the meaning of this message. What is the meaning of this message that what God has cleansed, I should not call common. And so while he's still thinking on this, these three men who are sent by Cornelius come to the house, and from the gate they ask, they shout. And you know, that time, that tells you that how serious it was, that even they cannot just come in unless they're invited. And immediately Peter went and called them in, and they lodged the night. And then in the morning, they set off for the house of Cornelius. So that's where we are in Acts chapter 10, verse 24. The Bible says, and the following day they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. Oh, for me, I love to see how Cornelius was such concerned with the things of God, with the things of ensuring that he and his household believes. And when he knew that there is a message from God for them, he ensured not only his family is there, he ensured his relatives and also his friends. So he called his relatives and his close friends. And the Bible says, as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. To Cornelius, he was thinking Peter must be an angel or must be someone that can be worshipped, but Peter immediately stops him and says, the Bible says, verse 26, but Peter lifted him up, saying, stand up, I myself am also a man. And this is something that we must do. We must never allow men to worship us. No matter how anointed God makes us, no matter how many miracles that we do, no matter how much our words carry power or what liftings that God has done, we must never let men worship us, but we must always return the glory back to God. We must always point to them that we are just men that God is using. We are just conduits that God's power and presence moves through. And by that, we are human beings of like passions. And this is a constant theme that you see from the apostles. They were very keen to ensure that men do not worship them. Think of Paul and Silas when the men wanted to, no, sorry, Paul and Barnabas, when the men wanted to sacrifice animals for them, saying that the gods have come to us in the form of flesh, they refused. They stopped them. But even though they shouted, even though they tore their clothes, they could do nothing to stop them because the men wanted to worship them. But now, Peter, verse 26 says, but Peter lifted him up and saying, stand up, I myself am also a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. Then he said to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation, but God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore, I came without objection. As soon as I was sent for, I asked them, for what reason have you sent for me? You can see Peter. Peter is still stuck in his traditions. He's even telling them, look, I know he's not right. He is not lawful, but God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. That is to tell you that anyone that is a human being is made in the image of God, and God desires that they come to a knowledge of truth. And that is why we must not discriminate. We must not feel that others are unworthy, others do not deserve the truth, but everyone deserves to know the truth, deserves to come to hear from God, and deserves to be preached to. So, he said, what reason have you asked for me? Verse 30. So Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. So he was fasting up to about 3 p.m., and then at 3 p.m., a man stood before him in bright clothing, and this was an angel, and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon at Tanna by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I send to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. So Cornelius gives him the background. An angel appeared to me when I was praying and fasting, and he said that I must send for you. So now we are all here. What has God commanded you that you may speak to us? Verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive. Finally, the contemplation of his heart was coming to pass. Remember, he meditated to understand what was the meaning of the vision that he had received. And it was not yet clear. And the angel eventually told him, the Spirit told him, go. 3 men are waiting for you. Do not refuse them. Go with them because I have sent them. So now in this point, it dawns on him that it says, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Now, this should not be a foundation that we should feel that every person from any nation that is working righteousness will be, you know, accepted. It is the knowledge of Christ. Yes, there are days of ignorance that God winks at, but you see, at this point, God has commanded that all men believe in the name of Jesus. So, and we also understand that we do not work for righteousness, because you can think that this time they're still getting the doctrine right. Yes, the early church was the foundation church, and many times we say that we need to go back to the early church, but if you follow through the early church, you will find that they still struggle with immaturity. There are still aspects of their doctrine that was not right. They still had conflicts, they still had challenges, and yet even today, these challenges are there today, but you can also see that they were still trying to understand their faith, still trying to understand what does it mean to be a believer, what does it mean to be in the body of Christ, and even the meanings of righteousness. So for him, he says, and anyone that works righteousness is accepted by him. Verse 36, the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And he's telling him that this is the message that God has sent me to preach, that God sent for us his son, Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all, And that word which you know, which has been preached throughout all Judea, and which began in Galilee. So there has been a message. And Cornelius, you're fully aware, there has been a message from the time of John the Baptist preaching the baptism in Galilee to now the word that was spoken in Judea through Jesus Christ. And you all know, you have been here, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Jesus of Nazareth, with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. You see, this is the summary of part of what the Holy Spirit did in the Jesus' life. At this point, they call him Jesus of Nazareth because it is the Spirit that made him the Christ, that made him the anointed. So the Bible tells us how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And that means that you too can be anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. The power comes after the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that you shall receive power after that which the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So it is in the journey of our encounters. It is in the journey of our exercising of the gifts of the Spirit, of our spending time with the Spirit of God, that he releases the power. The power is to do work. The anointing is for work. We don't just need the anointing so that men can praise us, but the anointing is given to do good works. And he went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil. The Bible tells us in 1 John that the reason the Son of God was made manifest was to destroy the works of the devil. The reason Jesus comes, the reason the anointing is given, is not only to do good, that is philanthropy, is not only to do good, that is to do everything that is good, be it in the kingdom, be it giving water, be it working, be it being a kingdom influence, but also to destroy the works of the devil. We are called to destroy sinful systems. We are called to destroy works of darkness. We are called to destroy demonic strategies that are in place. And that is why God needs men of influence in every sphere, in every mountain of influence, be it in the media, be it in government, be it in politics, be it in medicine and health, be it in the education sector, be it in the humanitarian, be it in the food sector. God needs men and women who are able, who are filled by the Spirit, and who can represent and who can carry the kingdom and demonstrate the principles of the kingdom to all those around them. It is our responsibility to know that God has called us not just for influence as to be priests alone, but we are called to be kings and priests unto our God. That means we must not neglect our kingly function, which is to be effective in the marketplace, which is to be effective in our careers, which is to be the best that is possible. God always looked for men that were excellent. Look at David, look at Joseph, look at Daniel. But not only are we to be excellent in our kingly function, we are also supposed to not neglect our priestly function. What is our priestly function? Our worship to God, our communion with him, our intimacy with God, our responsibility to shine the light and to not only spread the gospel, but to be missionaries and to have an apostolic mindset, that wherever we are in our workplaces, God has sent us to be the light to the world. We are the light of the world, and the light of the world cannot be hidden. The Bible says that a city that is built on a hill cannot be hidden, and no one lights a lamp and puts it under the table, but he puts it on top of the table or at a high place such that it can give light to the entire room. So we need to ask ourselves this morning, are we basically just focusing on one side? Have we forgotten either the priestly side or the kingly side? The Bible says, Revelation 1 verse 6, that he has made us kings and priests unto our God. He has purchased us. He has redeemed us. Christ has paid the price for us that we shall reign in this life. And that's what the Bible says. How much of those who received God's gracious, abundant gift of grace much reign in this life. We are called to reign. We are called to reign. We are not just survivors. Anyone that is led by the Spirit of God, anyone that is sensitive to the anointing, anyone that is sensitive to the leading and obedient will find that they walk in the prosperity that God has ordained for them. They will find that they walk in divine guidance. They will find that they are established. Their steps are ordered. Think of how Job says, "Oh, how I will remember the days when the candlestick of the Lord was upon me, where he anointed my steps with butter." You know, where men, young men, heard my voice, where old men waited at my word. He remembers the days when he was anointed, when the candlestick of the Lord was upon his tabernacle. I tell you, it is the anointing that makes the difference. It is the Spirit of God, the presence of God with Joseph that made him anointed above his brothers, that made him anointed in the house of Potiphar as a slave, that made him anointed in the prison, and also enabled him to release the anointing over Egypt and to govern it effectively. It is the Spirit of God that makes the difference. And this same Spirit is the one that made the difference in the life of Jesus. And that's why Peter says that how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil. That means that sickness is an oppression of the devil, and the anointing is able to bring healing to those that need it. And this morning I declare a word of healing to those that are sick today, them that are going through certain issues, be it in their blood, be it abnormal flow, be it a hormonal issue, be it barrenness, be it a delay. Oh God, I rebuke them in the name of Jesus. We rebuke blindness, we rebuke deafness, we rebuke lameness, oh God. We rebuke any weakness, any issues of stroke. We come against them in the name of Jesus. By the power of the anointing, we release the power to go and touch every situation and to bring life over dead situations, over dead marriages, over dead relationships, over dead businesses, oh God. Father, I thank you that indeed in your special way, your anointing is able to come forth and release life, oh God. Indeed, you speak life. You say that your words, they are spirit and they are life. And I thank you for the life that is available this morning, that is available to everyone that has taken a moment to listen, oh God, that this light may it bear fruit, may it release life, and this life is available through your Spirit. Your words, their spirit and their life. And Father, I thank you. I thank you for everyone that is consistently trusting in you for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Just as it was in the house of Cornelius, as the word was spoken to them, there was an outpouring. There was an outpouring. Even while Peter was still speaking, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit came upon all that had and believed the message of salvation. The Spirit was poured upon them, O God. And in this moment, I release an outpouring. I release an outpouring. I release an outpouring that he that is hungry may be filled this morning just by the words, just by the manifestation of the Spirit. Let there be an outpouring. Them that have desired to speak in tongues, to see manifestations of the outpouring of tongues, to see the manifestation of gifts, signs, and wonders in their lives, may they receive this grace this morning. Ribo shakariba chikende bakabo shandara baye karaboto rabadi kanda ribo shanda kabo rabadi kash ebo shande ebe bada di raboto receive mokore ba shanda karabo rabadi de de makaraboto riba shande karaboto riba arakati kanda da o shande karaboto kobo sharabadi karabadi de di rabadi as it was in
in the day of Pentecost. So it was on the day of the house of Cornelius, because God does not show partiality. God does not choose who and who, oh God. God chooses the one that is willing, the one that is ready to receive, the one that is ready to say, here I am, use me. The one that is ready to say, God, give me a fresh anointing, a fresh outpouring of your spirit, a fresh revelation. Whoever is hungry, the Bible says, come unto me and drink, and you shall drink to your fill, O God. You shall never thirst. Let everyone that is thirsty, if everyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And whoever that drinks from me, out of his belly, out of his inner man, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And Father, I thank you for the bubbling of your spirit, the bubbling of your spirit that is bubbling out of your vessel, that is bubbling out of the inner man of your children this morning, them that have surrendered to your will, O God. I thank you. I thank you, Jesus, for the outpouring of your Holy Spirit that is available today, O God. Even for those that have been filled before, they can receive a refreshing, O God. And I thank you that this moment, even as we trust in you, as we depend upon you, O God, your spirit works a freshness in our lives, a freshness in this new month, a freshness in our relationships, a freshness in our destinies, a freshness, O God. Them that have been in the wrong direction, O God, that they receive fresh direction and fresh insight. Let them be taught by you. Let the spirit of wisdom and revelation settle upon your children this morning, O God. I commit this day into your able hands. Go ahead of us. Keep us and sustain us. We honor you, we adore you, and we give you glory. In Jesus' name, we pray and believe. Amen. Shalom, and have a blessed, blessed day ahead.